So I want to ask you this question. We're going to start with this in the message this morning. And today is communion day. So at the end of the message today, before we go home, we're having communion together. And if you don't have your communion supplies yet, your communion elements, then you can, at the end of service or after at the end of the message, you can just raise your hand and somebody will get that to you before we all observe the Lord's Supper together. So I want to start by asking this simple question. Have you ever felt like life was passing you by? Let me ask it a different way. Have you ever thought that there are others that are going somewhere and you're not? Or how about this? Others are going somewhere faster than you're going. And it sort of feels like that maybe even your peers are moving along the road of life and they're seeing more success or more of the family dynamic that you would want than you're seeing. And so you feel like you just missed the bus. Now, that's a bad feeling. If you were one of us kids that rode the bus, all right, and you see that bus pulling off, and you know that bus driver is not stopping. He knows that you are going to walk back in that school or back in your house and you're going to get to school or not get to school. It's not on him. It's a sinking feeling to know you're going to have to walk into school and call mom to come pick you up. She's going to have to leave work. All right. And I think some of us kind of live life the same way. We get the fact that God is working, but we feel like life is moving at a better pace for other people and not for us. Sometimes when we allow that to happen, I think it gives us an opportunity to identify with a guy named, and I just want you to look at somebody and say these two words, blind Bartimaeus. Just look at somebody and say that. That's almost a tongue twister. Now, he was a beggar, so he was blind Bartimaeus the beggar. Now, if you forget that going home, that's your own fault, all right? We set that up good. Blind Bartimaeus is a beautiful character. A beautiful person in an encounter that he had with Jesus. Now, it didn't start off beautiful. He didn't like where he started off, but it got better as he went along. So I just want to read you a passage of Scripture. It says in Mark chapter 10, this is not on the screen, so you can look it up in your Bibles if you'd like to. Mark chapter 10, verse 46, he said this, "Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed Jesus. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout." Blind Bartimaeus began to shout, and he said, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And then, "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And when Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. They said, "Cheer up. Come on, he's calling you." In verse 50, Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. And when, what do you want? Let me back up. Jesus is about to ask a question that is incredibly important to what we're talking about today. He says to blind Bartimaeus, he asks this one simple question, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. And then blind Bartimaeus says, "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. You got this beautiful picture of Jesus. He is going about doing ministry, serving the public, and he is with his people, with his disciples, and he is going through Jericho, headed to Jerusalem. He just going for a walk. I mean, they didn't have a car. There was nobody to come pick them up. They had to just walk wherever they were going. And as they walked, the Bible says they were surrounded, Jesus was surrounded by a huge crowd of people. There was this air of expectancy. There was just an electricity in the air because they didn't know what Jesus was going to do next. Jesus had been healing the sick and doing all kinds of miracles, and people just wanted to hear what he had to say, and they wanted to see what he was going to do. So there's this air of expectancy, and the crowd is gathering and gathering, and there is blind Bartimaeus on the roadside begging. Now, this is a beautiful part of this story. Blind Bartimaeus was on the road doing what he always did, and he was with no intentions, it seems, of interacting with Jesus. But when he recognizes that Jesus is on his way, because there was no, we're advertising our event on Instagram or Facebook. Nobody knew Jesus was going to be coming through Jericho and walking down that street. As a matter of fact, nobody knew what Jesus was going to do. He was always changing the rules and changing directions. And so here's blind Bartimaeus just sitting by the roadside. Now notice, Jesus was on the road and blind Bartimaeus was beside the road. He was on the side of the road looking at what was happening on the road. It was no accident that Mark points this out, that Bartimaeus is sitting on the side of the road as Jesus comes by. Because Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, had been marginalized. He'd been sidelined. He was blind and he couldn't interact with society the way a healthier person could. And so his role in life was to show up every day to the place where he thought he could get the most money and beg that day. And he would then take that and make a living. It was a normal part of their society. So here is blind Bartimaeus, which it doesn't seem he had any way of knowing Jesus was coming, but Jesus knew blind Bartimaeus was going to be on that roadside. Now that's important. Jesus knows exactly where we are, even when we don't know where he's at in our situation. So when Jesus is walking along, doing what he's doing, he has all these people around him, and blind Bartimaeus starts to call out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He immediately said, "Something's going on. I know who Jesus is. I've heard the stories." And he starts making a ruckus. And the people that were there say, "Just shut up. Just leave him alone. Just be a blind beggar like you are. And leave all the miracles to us people that can follow him on the road. We don't need any of you sidelined, marginalized people. We're going to make sure that we get close to Jesus. So why don't you just be quiet? You're annoying us." It's an ugly picture of the life that Bartimaeus was living. Many people often felt during that time that when someone had an obvious physical issue, a sickness or an injury, that people felt that it was God's punishment on them for their own sin or for the sins of their parents. Now, Jesus completely told them this was wrong, but they had this idea that blind Bartimaeus is over there because he had done something wrong or his folks had done something wrong. So they really didn't have any time for him. They thought that only the good people were going to get stuff from Jesus, even though Jesus was out there spending time with people who were totally messed up. Jesus would have fit right in at Grace Point Church. I mean, he said, "Look, it's not the people who are well that need a doctor, it's the people who are sick." I'm like, this is where Jesus would show up right here. All right, so when blind Bartimaeus is just calling out, they say, "Shut up," and the Bible says he calls out louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And it gets the attention of Jesus. Now, the only way of making any money for blind Bartimaeus was to go out, lay out his coat, and wait for somebody to drop some money on it. He would gather it up at the end of the day, and he would go home. And that's how he made his living. Now, if you and I find ourselves feeling sidelined in our lives, there's some things that I think we can learn from this little story. This account really happened. We can learn some stuff about how we should handle our business and our lives when we feel sidelined, because if you haven't felt sidelined yet, I hate to bust any bubbles, but it's going to happen. There are going to be moments in your life where everybody else looks at your life and says, "Man, you got a great life." But you know, down deep, you feel like you're not on the road. You're over here on the side of the road wondering, "How am I ever going to survive? How is this ever going to work out?" If you've ever been there, then this one's for you this morning. We got five things. We're going to do them very quickly. Here's number one. You got to start where you are. You got to start where you are. Mark chapter 10, verse 47. This is in the story, the account. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He starts to call out. Now, Jesus is passing by. So he knows He knows his opportunity is here. It seems that blind Bartimaeus didn't know that Jesus was coming, but obviously Jesus knew blind Bartimaeus was going to be there. Bartimaeus had heard about this person, Jesus. He had heard about the healings of sick people, but he's just sitting on the side of the road as Jesus comes by. Now, here's the lesson. God has positioned you right where you are so that he can meet you there. God has allowed you to be in the position you are in right now so that he can meet you there. Because here's the deal. You and I are not smart enough to meet him. He comes to us. The Bible says it this way. He stands at the door and knocks. He is waiting. It's a metaphor that he is standing at the door of your life and mine, knocking. And the Bible says all we got to do is open the door and he wants to come in. So God has allowed you to find yourself in the situation you're in so that he can meet you there. Now, he might not have put you there. He didn't put blind Bartimaeus there. That was just where Bartimaeus chose every day to be. But Jesus knew where he was. He had allowed him to be there so that he could meet that need. Bartimaeus couldn't see, but he could hear. And he heard the crowd coming. He knew the crowd. See, you use what you have. You can't just sit down and feel sorry for yourself and go, well, I don't have all the gifts and the blessings of somebody else, so I'm just not even going to try. Bartimaeus is blind, but he said, I'm going to start where I am, and I'm going to use what I have. I have my ears. I'm going to listen. I'm pretty sure this has got to be Jesus, because nobody else generates this kind of excitement. Nobody else that comes down this road. I don't hear anybody coming down this road every day that creates this kind of atmosphere. So if we can't get caught up in what we don't have, we got to focus on what we do have and say, Lord, I want you to use that. I want you to use that. He didn't say, I don't know where Jesus is. I can't see him. He said, I'm going to scream till he finds me. I'm going to stir up a ruckus. And he really said, I don't care who I upset. They told him to be quiet, and he started screaming louder. It's kind of like your kids when they were little at Walmart, you know. One time I was in Kroger with our kids, and they were acting crazy, and I was doing everything I knew to do, and one of them was in the floor acting silly. Luke, sorry to pick on you, buddy. One of them was on the floor acting silly, and you know, I'd done everything I knew to do. And this elderly lady, I've told this story before, she walked by and she's just looking at the kids down in the floor, and I was like, whose children are those? And she looked at me like, I don't know. And I was like, I'm just kidding, they're mine. They're mine. That's exactly what blind Bartimaeus was doing. They said, stop screaming, and he screamed louder. He was not having it. He knew Jesus was passing by. He wasn't there to stay. Jesus was passing by. Bartimaeus had a short opportunity to get the attention of Jesus, and he meant he was going to get his attention. Don't let opportunities pass you by because you think you're not as qualified or you don't have as many blessings as somebody else. Why not scream out to the Lord as he passes by and let him do something in your life? Opportunities don't last forever. Don't just let this be another year of the same old stuff. There's an old saying, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you always got. I mean, it makes so much sense, and yet some of us live in the same crazy patterns and cycles that we know is unhealthy for so long because we think we don't have a good starting place. We're waiting for our life to get a little better. I've heard people say, well, when I get my life straightened up, I'm going to accept Jesus. I'm like, man, you got that totally backwards. You are not going to get your life straightened up without Jesus. You need to get him in there so he can straighten it up. Amen. Zechariah 4:10 says this, despise not small beginnings. Just don't overlook the little things that God wants to do in your life. So you got to start where you are. Here's the second thing. Listen to the right voices. You got to listen to the right voices. Mark 10:48, be quiet. Remember? They're screaming at him, be quiet. Many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder. Son of David, have mercy on me. I just love this guy. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall watching him as he screamed louder. And these people were saying, be quiet. And he's just right in their face, just giving it to them. He just wanted the attention of Jesus. Now listen, haters are going to hate. I mean, Taylor Swift said it, all right. Haters gonna hate, and I'm just gonna shake. Anyway, all right, I'm not gonna do it. I ain't doing it. I'm just gonna stop there. Whew. That doesn't mean there's gonna be haters in your life. If you say to somebody, I started going to church, they're gonna be, did the walls fall down? You say, well, almost, but Jesus held them up, you know? So there are going to always be people in your life that are trying to get you to shut up and sit down instead of receiving what God has for you. And the Bible gives us the example here. Stand up and scream louder. Not at everybody, to Jesus. Bartimaeus wasn't screaming in their faces. He's screaming over their heads. He just wanted to get to Jesus on the other side of them. So when we recognize that and we let God work in our lives and we realize that he is going to work in our lives as long as we listen to his voice and not all those other voices. Don't listen to the voice of the crowd. The crowd will mess you up nowadays. The crowd will have always messed you up. We have this tendency to think, well, society is worse now than it ever was. Listen, go read history. There were some times that were just as bad as they are today. And people were being mistreated and wrong was happening and all of those things. Just because we don't listen to the haters doesn't mean we don't listen to somebody. We have to listen to the right people. We got to make sure that we let God speak to us. Proverbs 13 says this, the one who walks with the wise will become wise. But a companion of fools will suffer harm. Can I rephrase that a little bit without changing the meaning? If you hang out with wise people, you turn into a wise person. If you hang out with a fool, you turn into a fool. If we spend time with the right people, there are people in this church right now that 10 years ago you wouldn't have listened to a word they had to say. You'd be like, no, they don't fit in the wise category. I'm not listening to them. But today, some of the wisest people you will ever sit down and talk with because they spent time with wise people and they allowed God to work in their lives and they've grown and they've become the people that we need to and want to hang around to. We are influenced by the people we choose to surround ourselves with. Surround yourself with the right people. I don't want to, you know, this fall is not going to be only about the Cowboys, just so you know. But next week, if the Cowboys are on the 2-yard line and they have a timeout, I hope Dak goes, timeout, let me talk to the coaches. Let me just make sure I'm seeing everything. He's not going to listen to you and me in the stands. No matter how much you scream at him, he does not care what you had to say. Not worried about the crowd. But the coach, now that's a different thing. I need to find out. There might be something I'm not seeing right here. There might be something that would work better. Let me talk it over and then I'll make a decision about it. We all need wise people in our lives to listen to from time. Now, how do you pick those wise people? Let me give you 3 questions. Number one, you ask this, do they have a strong personal relationship with Christ? First, I mean, the Bible lays it out. A wise person is going to have a strong relationship with Christ, okay? So start there. Here's the second question. Do they want what's best for you? Do they want what's best for you? And here's the third question. Do they have a track record of serving other people? In other words, are they unselfish? And you spend time around people like that. It's a bad idea to listen to everyone, but it's an incredibly smart idea to listen to the right people. Now, blind Bartimaeus, he recognized it. I can't listen to this guy. This guy does not have my best interest at heart. This guy that's screaming, be quiet and shut up, he's not thinking about me. He's thinking about him. I'm not going to listen to him. I'm just going to talk over him, and I'm going to reach out to Jesus. So make sure that you're listening to the right voices. Here's number 3. Point your life toward Jesus. Too many times people want God to work in their lives, but they're walking away from him. They're not doing the things that he's asking them to do. Jesus said this, if you love me, you'll obey me. Now, how do you love somebody? You spend time with them. You face to face. You learn who they are. If you ever hear somebody say, man, I love that movie star. No, they don't love them. They just think they're awesome. They just think they're cool. They just think whatever about them, but they don't love them in the same way because they don't know them. They haven't spent time with them face to face. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. So we got to turn our lives toward Jesus. Look at what the scripture says. When Jesus heard him, the blind Bartimaeus, he stopped and he said, tell him to come here. These are the same people that just told Bartimaeus to shut up. And Jesus said, hey, tell him to come over here. Can you imagine how they felt? Like, boy, we messed up. And so then they all of a sudden they get real nice. They put a big smiley face on. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. Don't you know blind Bartimaeus wish wanted to smack him? Anyway, all right. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. He threw his coat aside, and he jumped up, and he came to Jesus. Now, a beggar's coat was important to him. It was one of his only possessions. Every day he would take this coat out. More than likely, he would lay it out on the ground just like a musician on a street corner will open a guitar case and hope that you throw some coins and dollar bills in there. That's exactly what blind Bartimaeus had going on. Here's his coat. This is the way he made his living. Drop it in here. He'll take it home and I'll use it to pay the bills, get something to eat. But when Jesus said, I want you to come to me, blind Bartimaeus threw his coat aside. He jumped up and he came to Jesus. Now, I don't know if his coat was laying on the ground at that time, but I know this. He gave up his earthly possession, something that was very valuable to him, just to get to Jesus. He was pointed to Jesus. He was in the right place when Jesus came by. He took his opportunity. He screamed out. Jesus said, come on over here. Come on over here to me. He left everything. He didn't let anything slow him down. He didn't say, well, I'm taking care of this right now. I can see you next week at 2:00 on Tuesday. He dropped everything and he took off. He chose the direction of Jesus. The question then this morning is your life pointing to Jesus, or are you tangled up in temporary stuff? Are you so tangled up in temporary stuff that you can't hear when Jesus says, tell him to come to me? It's important to get disentangled from the things that will hurt us. Direction is directly related to our priorities every day. The direction of our life is related to our priorities. Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there your heart's going to be also. He said, whatever you value, that's where your heart's going to be. That's going to point your life in the right direction. Our lives gravitate to the things that are important to us. When Jesus is asking us to step out in faith, he understands the situation already. He knows everything about us already. We don't have to explain to him why we can't come to him. We just have to move toward him, point our lives toward Jesus. If you don't know where you're going, you won't know when you get there. We're waiting. Sometimes when we should be moving, we're entangled with the stuff of this world. One commentator said that beggars in that society were given a coat and everyone knew what kind of coat they had so they could use it for begging. He was so convinced that if he could get to Jesus, he would no longer need that coat to make a living. He was so convinced that if he could stand before Jesus, that God would change him in such a way that he would no longer need to sit on the side of the road between Jericho and Jerusalem, but he would be able to go and do what he needed to do to take care of the people around him, and he would be able to follow Jesus for the rest of his life. Let me ask us this morning. Are we willing to give up everything just to get to Jesus? Or are we so caught up in the things that are temporary? In 100 years, somebody else is going to own your house. In 20 years, somebody else is going to have your car. It might be in a junkyard by then. It's going to be temporary stuff. God gives us things to use for his glory and to serve other people. But when our lives become so entwined in temporary things that we can't move toward him, we're missing the whole point. God is calling us to him. He wants a relationship with us. He wants to work in our lives. We got to let him do that. Here's number four. Ask with some faith. Ask with some faith. Mark chapter 10, verse 51. What do you want me to do for you, Jesus asked. Now, that's a big question. Can we just take a minute right here? What if Jesus said to you this morning, what do you want me to do for you? Is it one thing, Lord, or can I give you 20? I mean, it wouldn't take us long. And blind Bartimaeus, it didn't take him long either. He knew exactly what he wanted. And he knew that Jesus was the only one that could do it for him. He said, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. My rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. He says, my rabbi. It was a different term than is used. It's only used one other place in the New Testament. It means my rabbi. It means it's more reverential and personal. He wanted a personal connection with Jesus. When Jesus is in all this crowd and it's loud and some of the people there are being selfish. They want what they want when they want it. They didn't really want Jesus to take time to take care of a beggar, especially a blind beggar, who everybody knew. Bartimaeus just wanted to get to Jesus, and it was personal with him. From the first minute, he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he says, my rabbi, I want to see. Let me see if I can say this the right way this morning. Desperation in your life and mine can be the doorway to faith. There are moments in our life where desperation will push us to have faith that we never thought we could have. And we will trust God in ways that we never thought we would trust Him. Desperation sometimes pushes us closer to God if we allow it to. So what's your response to Jesus this morning? If Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? What's the response? Bartimaeus said, I just want to see. I just want to see. He abandoned everything to get to Jesus, and he gave him that one simple request. And number five is, when you show up and you meet Jesus, he's going to send you somewhere. He's going to use you. You're going to have to go. Look what he says. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Get the picture. Here's blind Bartimaeus. When the story started, he was on the side of the road, sidelined and marginalized. But when he had an encounter with Jesus, the Bible says he followed Jesus down the road. He was on the road with Jesus. His life was headed somewhere. He wasn't stalled out on the side. He was going somewhere. The challenge this morning is real simple. Where is Jesus going, and how can we get behind him and follow? What is he doing in your life and mine? How can we get behind him and follow? Because he will provide everything we need when we say, Lord, I want you. I want you to work in my life. I need you. I'm desperate for some things in my life. I need you to show up in my family. I need you to show up on my job. I need you to show up in my health. Lord, I'm just going to have to lean on you and rely on you. And when we do that, when we say, my rabbi, it's personal, Lord. I know all this stuff that I have, the coats in my life, they don't mean anything. This relationship with you is what matters most of all. We all need purpose. And the purpose is, let me follow Jesus. We're going somewhere when we follow him. Sometimes it's like life is so heavy. I want to say this directly to somebody this morning. Life is so heavy that we feel like we don't even have the energy to stand up and say, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when the first person is not encouraging and the first person says, be quiet, stop whining. And if we're already feeling desperate, it's easy to sit back down. Let me tell you this. There are moments in your life and mine where we just got to call out to Jesus. I call them ugly face prayers. Sometimes you got to close the door and you got to pray the prayers you don't want anybody taking pictures of. And you just got to pray and cry and just seek the Lord and let God work in your life. That's where Bartimaeus was. He had no hope of anything except Jesus. And some of us have been trying to work stuff out for so long. We've been trying to do it all by ourselves for so long. We're exhausted. We've picked up habits that we shouldn't have picked up because we're just trying to survive. And we're unhealthy and we're not allowing God to work. And Jesus is saying, where are you? Come, tell him to come over here. And we've refused to come because we're holding on to all the things we think we control. And the truth is we don't control any of it. And we just got to say, Lord, I want you to work. I need you to show up. I need you to work in my life. Here's the beautiful part of this picture to me. Jesus came, very simply, Jesus came for people who were messed up. Jesus came, died on a cross, gave up his life, endured the punishment of the cross so you and I wouldn't have to, because he knew we would never be able to do it on our own. So he died in our place, shed his blood in our place so that we could be saved and we could have eternal life. It's not just about what's happening here and now. It's about eternity and what God wants to do in our lives. What is God trying to speak to you this morning? Do you have a relationship with Jesus, or have you been holding on to the stuff you can control? The stuff you can control is about as much as one coat. And sometimes we forget that. We can't even handle that much. What if we, with abandon, we're going to take care of our responsibilities, but with abandon, we're going to just move toward Christ. We're going to point our lives toward Jesus and give him the room to work in our lives. If that's you this morning, you're ready to surrender it to him, we're going to pray. And it's so simple that it almost doesn't seem real. Jesus said, or the Bible explains it this way. If we want to surrender our lives to God, we have to admit we've sinned. We got to believe on Jesus, and we got to confess him as Lord of our lives. Every time I explain this, I say this. Admit you've sinned. Well, we all know we've messed up. That's pretty simple. I think we can all do that one. I admit it, Lord. I've sinned. I've made some bad choices along the way. Believe in Jesus. I know who he is. Put your faith in him and stop putting it in yourself. And then confess him as Lord. Say it. Lord, you're Lord of my life. I want to follow you. I want to serve you. I want to tell somebody who you are. And that's really what surrendering is all about. Lord, I want to do it your way. I want you to have your way. I want you to speak into me. I want you to use me for your glory. I want to get off the sideline and on the road. I want my life going somewhere with some purpose. I'm tired of being over there sitting to the side and watching everybody else or listening to everybody else go by. I want you to do your work in me. If that's you, you're ready. I want us to pray this prayer together. You pray it in your own words and just give everything you have to him this morning. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the grace that you have given to each one of us. And we know, Lord, that you are faithful to us and you always keep your word. And Lord, we just pray today that every person in this room or watching online today, Lord, you would help everyone who doesn't know you, doesn't have a relationship with you, or just walked away from a relationship with you. I pray today that you would help them to take that step and admit they've sinned and believe in you and confess you as Lord and just allow you to do your work, allow you to move and allow you to minister in their hearts and their lives and their family, make you their Savior and their Lord. God, we thank you for what's coming. And we, Lord, we just want to give you praise in advance for what you're going to do in each of our lives as we surrender it to you. We thank you, God. We give you praise right now for what's coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give him some praise for that, everybody? Amen. 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 Here's the beautiful part of this. Jesus died for all of us. And the Bible tells us that we should go ahead and take your communion elements. You can just hold them in your hand. If you don't have one, just raise your hand and somebody will get that to you very quickly. All right? All right. Jesus, the night before he would be crucified, he showed us what the Lord's Supper was all about. He broke bread and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, when you eat this bread, I want you to think of me. I want you to think of my broken body. This was before he had died on the cross. He was really foretelling what was about to happen. And he says, every time you eat this bread, I want you to remember the sacrifice I've made for you. My body was broken. And he said, and then he picked up a cup of wine and he drank it. And he said, every time you drink this cup, I want you to remember my blood that was shed for the remission of your sins or the forgiveness of your sins. He said, this is so important. The Apostle Paul said, I want you to examine yourself for a little bit. Don't just observe the Lord's Supper from a flippant standpoint. Look deep and examine. And if there's sin to confess, let's confess it. And if we need help, let's say it. And let's let God work in our lives so that the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus changes us and makes a difference in our lives. So we're going to pray. And if you're ready to surrender an area of your life, maybe you've been a believer for a long time, but there's that area of your life where you go, you know, I just have never fully surrendered that area. I know I should, and I want to, just never had the motivation to do it. I encourage you that today is the day. Today is the day. Lord, as we are about to observe communion together, Lord, help us right now. Lord, we confess sins in our life, and we confess those areas that we have not been committed to you in. We just ask for your help. We ask you to cleanse us, and we ask you to help us to start walking in purity and holiness and let you do your work in us. And God, we thank you. We thank you, God, for your help in advance. And we thank you for your grace. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you would stand with me, open up your bread, if you would. Take your bread in your hand. Thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. The Bible says this, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Now watch this. He said, "And the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" So let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. And after the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. I want to encourage somebody right here before we go this morning. We often look at those people in the Bible like a blind Bartimaeus. Really, we should probably not call him blind Bartimaeus anymore. We can just call him Bart. He ain't blind no more. Bartimaeus, his story, his life was changed in an instant, and then he started following Jesus. And that's what happens in our lives. Our lives are changed in an instant when we start following Jesus, but we learn as we follow him. The road takes us places. We grow. We turn into a different person than we were in the beginning. I want to encourage somebody right here. No matter what your past looks like, no matter where you're coming from, no matter how messed up you think you are, or how far from God you feel like you are, I want you to get this one thing, and we're going to close. Jesus said to the blind beggar, "What do you want me to do for you?" He's asking you the same thing this morning. What do you want me to do for you? Do you want healing? Are you tired of the hurt? What do you need God to do? It might be miraculous. If it's worth anything, it will be miraculous. It won't be something you can do on your own. I never leave my house and go, "God, help me to buy groceries today." It doesn't seem, I feel like he's already given me what I need. I got it. You give me the skills, I can handle that. But when I start praying for my family, boy, those prayers get miraculous. when I start praying for others, when I start praying for God to change my heart and change my life, those get miraculous because I can't do that on my own. I got to listen to the other people in my life, the right people, and I got to let God work. So he's saying to you today, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What are you going to respond to? And Father, thank you so much for all your blessings. Thank you for your grace this morning. And we pray today that as we move forward in our week, that we would walk in your grace. And Lord, we would point our lives towards you and let you do your work in us like never before. God, we ask that you help us, give us courage to call out to you when others are screaming that we should not call out to Jesus. Lord, that we would just call out over them and let you do your work. We thank you, God, for what's coming in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here today.